Hello, welcome to Yun Cong's broadcast, where I share my research experience working on eugenics-related topics in higher education setting. About 6 years of studying and working at UCL, I thought I know everything of this uni. Every year it seems I know more buildings outside of my department, which is particularly useful when I work as a student ambassador in the open days and during orientation. However, a project I participate as a research assistant proved there is still a lot to learn. The history related to eugenics legacy is definitely one of them. Thanks for this year's IOE Early Career Impact Fellowship, which allows me to invite some team members of Eugenics Legacy Education Project, ELAP, that I work with for the past year and share the research experience to a wider audience. Today, we have Helen Nola, the Associate Professor at ELAP.
Thanks, Yun Cheng, for inviting me. I'm Helen, I'm the Academic Lead for ELAP, and my role is to manage the academic direction of the project, devising the aims and outcomes, and working to develop resources and academic publications for the project so that everybody at UCL and in the wider academic community knows about the project.
We have Tor, our project manager.
Thanks, Yun Cheng. I'm Tor Wright. As she said, I'm the project manager, so the professional service side of this work. And I'm working closely with Helen to support reaching our goals, reaching our aims, and all the practical sides of the project.
We have two PhD students at IOE, Xiaoyan and Gurkan.
Hi, I'm Gurkan. I'm a PhD candidate at the Department of Curriculum, Pedagogy and Assessment, and it is my last year this year. And my research focuses on immigrant Turkish students' attitudes towards science from a cultural perspective. In this project, I'm also working as a doctoral researcher in this exciting project, and we are creating sessions, activities, collecting data and analyzing.
Hi everyone, I'm Xiaoyan, a doctoral research assistant for ELAP. I'm currently a second-year PhD student from the Department of Culture, Communication and Media. My research interests revolve around learning analytics and learning design. My role for this project is mainly help our team to investigate ways to devise and evaluate educational resources to foster student engagement with eugenics legacy to help them developing some research skills.
Thanks everyone for being here. For those who might not know this concept eugenics, I would like to provide a quick introduction. Eugenics, the pseudoscience of improving human populations through selective breeding, had its root at UCL. UCL academics, including Carl Pearson, played an important role in developing and legitimizing the study of eugenics in the 19th and early 20th century. This dangerous ideology cemented the spurious idea that a variety of human life could be assigned different value. In January 2021, UCL issued a formal public apology for its history and legacy of eugenics. The apology and this project are part of a range of actions to acknowledge and address UCL's historical links with the eugenics movement. Following the publication of Eugenics Inquiry Response Group Report in 2021, a eugenics legacy education project, ELAP, was established. Our team aims to embed visibility and awareness of UCL's history of eugenics across organization. We aim to actively engage with UCL's eugenics legacy in relevant educational activities. We aim to understand and address ongoing consequences of eugenics thinking today and incorporate this into inclusive teaching and learning activities where relevant. Finally, we aim to develop knowledge and critical thinking skills so that educators might use their learning for working with other difficult or and sensitive curriculum areas. Please Google ELAP UCL for more information. And I would like to ask, what do you think when you heard the word eugenics? Are you aware of the UCL issued apology in 2021?
That's a really interesting question. I was aware that UCL had done some work around its eugenics legacy, and there was a lot of news at the time about the apology. Some of the news was positive and lots of people welcomed it, and some of the news was not so positive, and people were kind of saying, why is this happening now? Why is the apology happening now? So yeah, I was aware of it, certainly.
What about you, Tor? Are you aware of this? Have you heard of this concept, or are you aware of the public apology UCL issued?
So I'd also heard of eugenics as a kind of pseudoscience, because it relates to areas that I'm interested in. But I was actually working at UCL at the time of the inquiry in a different role in professional services. And I just have a very vague memory of maybe a news article in UCL News. Nothing really struck me. I wasn't particularly invested. It just was happening and I was kind of neutral about it.
Yeah, I think I might know about the building renaming thing. I'm aware of Pearson correlation coefficient. I think anyone, if you study any statistic module, you probably find this name very familiar. And interestingly, the studio we are doing the recording right now was renamed from Pearson Building to Northwest Wing. How about you guys, Xiaoyan and Gherkin? Do you know this public apology?
Well, from me as an international student study at UCL, to be honest, I don't know UCL's history associations with eugenics, but I do have a certain understanding of the concept eugenics. So I think it's kind of unethical and a harmful movement that aimed to improve human populations through selective breeding, which kind of leads to significant ethical violations. Yeah.
I've never heard these words until I started studying at UCL as an international student with Turkish origin. But when I first heard the word eugenics, it evoked a sense of concern and awareness of its dark history, and the idea of categorizing and valuing human lives based on selective breeding is deeply troubling. And I was also aware of UCL's public apology in 2021, and I think it was a crucial step in acknowledging and addressing the university's historical ties to this dark ideology. The renaming of buildings, like the transition from Pearson Building to Northwest Wing, is symbolic and necessary in reshaping our institutional identity, I believe.
Okay, thanks for sharing. And for Helen and Tor, I wonder what initially drew you to this project?
Great question. So I have a background in special and inclusive education. I've spent many years thinking about how classrooms can become inclusive and how to remove barriers to participation for people who have disabilities or particular neurodivergence or chronic conditions. So I was aware of eugenics in that way as a historical construct. When I saw this role, this project, I was really interested in how we link the past and ideas about the past to current education and also future education. Because the thing about eugenics that interested me is that it has these afterlives. So there's the version of eugenics that is the history that we know about at UCL, but we also know that eugenics ideas haven't gone away. And so for me, I was really interested in how do we teach that in modern classrooms in higher education? How do we work with students and colleagues across UCL to understand why it's important to still keep looking at this history and legacy? Tor, what about you?
I think I came from a little bit of a different perspective. Being a member of the professional service staff at UCL, you can sometimes feel a bit like a cog in a machine and you can't really see your impact. So, you know, day to day, you know, the students are appreciative, people say thank you, but you're not making really a difference at UCL in, you know, in your heart, you're not sure you're doing something. And then a project like this, it's such a specific cause. And you think, you know, it's a 3-year project, we can make a difference. You know, we can make people listen and understand and maybe learn a bit more about how they're teaching, how they're learning. So it was a really interesting chance to make change at UCL.
Okay, Helen, and we just mentioned we work with three projects. I wonder if you can briefly introduce the three projects to us.
Yeah, so as part of our work, we wanted to collaborate with academics at UCL. And so we first put a call out to ask for people who were interested to work with us. And so one project was from a colleague in geography who was looking at he was teaching statistics, as Jayan mentioned. If you learn statistics, you know about Pearson and Pearson's coefficient. And this colleague wanted to put some context around his teaching and wanted to include the legacy in his module. The second project is a colleague in archaeology who wanted to look at the ways that we could increase student engagement with the topic. So there we've explored different methods for student engagement in seminars. The final project was a colleague in IOE, in education, who was interested in culturally sensitive approaches to teaching about the eugenics history and legacy.
Okay, Xiaoyan and Gherkin, my next question is, what do you think are some of the main challenges we face when addressing historical legacy such as eugenics in higher education, or broadly speaking, any challenges you encounter while working on this project? One challenge I remember is like when we were doing the literature review early this year, and I didn't find many available literature. I wonder what you guys think of.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Finding like the lack of existing literature was a big challenge for me too. And in additionally, I think it was when we were trying to create some activities, we believed that it's very important to make it culturally relevant. And it was also very important to not offend or damage anyone, any country or any culture when we are talking about this kind of sensitive topics. Therefore, when we were creating the activities to conduct in the sessions, we were working very carefully, even for each, every single word that we are going to use during the session.
What do you think, Xiaoyan?
Yeah, I completely agree with Yuncong and Gherkin that we do have like limited literature review base to build up our literature. But it does pose some challenges to develop well-rounded educational resources and engage in informed discussions. But I think that's also motivate us to fill the gap by trying to develop some strategies or guidelines that teachers in higher education can think of when they approach to this kind of sensitive or difficult topics. And also, I think another challenge can be when we confront such a controversial and sensitive topics, it can be challenged because it requires careful navigation to respect diverse perspectives while acknowledge the harmful impacts of the eugenics.
I think all five of us have different experience of teaching. So my next question is, in what way has this project changed your perspective on teaching and learning in higher education? Tor, do you want to start?
So obviously not the projects we've been specifically working on, because they've been amazing academics and amazing teachers. But from a broader sense, when I've been surveying across UCL to see who's teaching about eugenics and seeing some resources and talking to people, I've just realised how there's not enough. And I think there will never be enough for whatever you did. Not influence, but kind of importance put on how you teach, not just what you teach. And I think that's something that's become very clear during this project.
Okay, cool. I mean, that's a perspective I never think about. What do you think, Helen?
So for me, I agree with Tor. An additional dimension for me, so I've worked in education all my life, either as a teacher or as a researcher of education. And what I've learned is, I think at the start of the project, I thought we could do a kind of singular module that could go across the whole of UCL and would be compulsory, and that everybody could do it. And what's challenged me is actually it probably isn't whole-scale change. You probably don't need to change a whole program or even a whole module. But actually, in our projects, what is emerging that small but impactful changes to the curriculum content or to teaching practices can have quite a big impact. And I think we're at a place that actually the acknowledgement of the history and legacy is really important. So, yeah, I think originally I thought big, massive changes, that was the way to go. And as we've worked together, I've realised that actually what seems to be more influential and what makes change is more small and gentle, structured change.
Excellent. And Gökhan, I remember you said you were a science teacher in Turkey.
Yes.
So I just wonder, has this project, I mean, in any way, this project change your perspective on teaching, maybe like in secondary school? Or do you think it's too early to teach like this kind of topic to secondary school students?
Thank you for asking me this great question. I don't believe that it is too late, too early to teach these sensitive topics in science education, especially in secondary school, because it is very important to have this awareness that science can be used for some bad intentions as well. And I think it is very important to make students aware of how science can actually fulfill their lives, but also can damage our lives very badly. That's why I believe that it's very important for me. And from my perspective, it was an amazing experience for me that I was a part of this project, and I learned a lot as well as a science teacher. That science, yes, we love science, but sometimes it can be dangerous. So it is very important to have some acknowledgement about this.
Thank you for sharing. Xiaoyan, I remember you were teaching some STEM subject to secondary students recently. And I wonder if you were taught to design a curriculum, will you include eugenics-related topics in your like handbook? Or do you think it's too early to teach this topic to 11 and 12 years old secondary school students?
Thanks for Yunsong's question. I think, as you mentioned, I do teach a STEM course at year 7 and 8 students. I don't think it's too early to let students know this concept. It's very important for students to be equipped with this kind of awareness. And also it's very important to create such an inclusive environment that trying to facilitate this kind of a historical awareness and also ethical considerations of legacy of eugenics. And also it's very important to foster a comprehensive and a respectful educational setting to let students know what's actually happening in the past and what, how do we respond to those kind of actions.
Okay, I just, through reviewing the literature and through having a focus group with students, I just realized the timing of teaching sensitive and difficult topics is really an important issue. Some students, I mean, postgrad students, they think it's a bit too late, and we should have this kind of module in undergrad study. So I wonder, what do you guys think? Should we put in maybe in a compulsory module to the undergrad or maybe in a session in the postgrad?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think part of our project will report on that issue, because I think we need to do probably more thinking about when do students encounter this issue, how we do it. And I guess in an ideal world, every student would know when they came to UCL, they might be introduced to the idea through just the history of UCL and the world of UCL. And I suppose what we do know from the research literature is that, you know, we do have to be careful about how much content around difficult topics like this we use with students. So, you know, would I want to see a module in the first year that was all about this? Probably not. It's too difficult. It can be very hard to learn about this stuff. I probably would like to see a differentiated approach. I'll call it the drip, drip, drip approach. Like, maybe something in the first year, it's revisited again. So, or a spiral approach where actually wherever you are in your course, you do encounter some learning about the legacy. So, yeah, it makes more work because it would be good if undergraduates knew about it and didn't find out, you know, in the final year of their postgrad studies, I guess.
Great. Okay, the next question is, what has been the most rewarding aspect of being involved in this project?
I think I can start on this one, that it's the positive reactions we've had from, I'd basically say, everybody. You know, we've met with the provost, we've met with teaching staff, with support staff, with the EDI teams. There's no one rolling their eyes and being cynical about this. Everybody's been engaged. They want to support us. They want to support the work. There's not really been a, we should never talk about this, you know, sweep it under the carpet for this, you know, our sort of dark history. I think that positivity has been refreshing. And to see it across different faculties and areas has just been really rewarding.
Yeah, for me, I've had some real moments of like real joy and yes moments in this project. And that's happened when I've seen students and staff collaborating together. So recently we've attended some meetings where students have worked on Changemakers projects and then reported to staff teams. And the next steps for those projects have been staff teams and student teams agreeing to work together for curriculum change. So for me, that's been amazing to see the actual transformation of the curriculum. So we're confident that, you know, in coming years, when the project has ended, the work to look at our curriculum and take seriously the idea that we have to address the legacy, that will continue. So for me, it is the power of staff-student collaboration has been really great to see.
Excellent. That's what I like about being involved in this project. How about you guys, Xiaoyan and Gherkin? And anything, like any rewarding aspect of being involved in this project?
Well, I think the rewarding aspect of being involved in this project is we witness improvement in student engagement, especially in this kind of difficult topics. As we just discussed, we were working on three modules to enhance student awareness of eugenics. So in one module, we are trying to develop some innovative approaches to enhance student engagement during seminar sessions. And we are very happy to hear the feedback from the one of the course lead. She said like students are very engaged in the seminar compared to the past cohorts. So which means like the approaches we develop do have some positive impact on student engagement. So I also think that's not only enhanced their student engagement, but in some way can also develop their critical thinking skills, let them to prepare to tackle other difficult or sensitive topics throughout curriculum teaching.
I would like to answer this question from a personal place, because when I started working for this project, I was very excited, and I was telling my friends, like, I started a new project and it's named eugenics. And they were like, what is that? We never heard this. And because my friends, all my friends at UCL are from all over the world, and I started talking about eugenics and they found it quite interesting. And it made me a more interesting person as well in my friend group. So that's why it was quite rewarding for me.
Okay, that's a positive side. Yeah, we've talked about impact a lot in this project. I mean, so far we have presented our research at a conference at the King's College London. I think it was in April. And we have British Education Research Association annual conference booked in September. And I wonder, is there any other way you suggest we could reach to a wider audience? See, I mean, this broadcast is one of the ways. And I wonder, you guys, if you have any suggestions, how can we like promote our research?
So I think your ideas around working with younger pupils, I mean, that's definitely something that you guys have brought to our thinking. So to what extent do we want to sort of work with 16 to 18 year olds, maybe before they come to UCL? So I think that would be one way to promote the kind of stuff that we're doing, so people can see the examples of the projects that we've done. I do think there's probably something about working with the community, but I think that work might have to happen after our project has ended. But we do have a strand of our project next year where we are going to talk to community. So again, we can share these reflections. So something like the thing we're doing today is really important for people to understand our journey. I know that word is a bit, people don't always like it, but it does show how we've developed and thought about practices.
I think it's also about looking at speaking to academics and teachers more about the work, because it's quite overwhelming to try and introduce something like this into a module. And we've got examples now from your projects where small changes have big impacts. And I think that's something that I could imagine as a busy academic, if I just have to change one activity and add one slide in the first instance, then that's something I can do and have a positive impact. And it might also be we've started to let people know UCL are quite privileged that we are part of the HEA, the fellowship process for academics. And this kind of work for academics can lead to really great case studies for them in their fellowship applications. So bringing in how this work is not only good for the students, but for your own career as an academic, I think will have a positive impact, because then you don't have to be, you know, a warrior who's determined to change the world. You can just do small things that make a little difference that will bring it into people's lives. And I think that's going to, like Helen said before, that's going to have probably the more lasting impact than a big demonstration if we did something, you know, a one-off event. Hopefully that will have more long-term impact on people's careers and the ways that they teach and what they teach about.
And in addition to what Tor and Helen said, I would like to say something more. Many areas within higher education have historical ties to problematic ideologies and practices. For example, colonial histories and their impact on various academic disciplines could also benefit from a similar approach. In that sense, I believe addressing these legacies openly and critically can help create a more inclusive and equitable educational landscape.
What do you think, Xiaoyan?
So, as we already did some academic research dissemination throughout a conference, and we can also present at the BARA in this September. So I think we could also effectively probably leverage some social media or academic networking sites to share what we find from our projects and probably something relevant approaches. How do we teach some controversial topics online to engage with a broader community? Probably also as we also find some postgrad students, they find it's kind of not a good timing for them to learn eugenics because their course schedule is kind of intense. So I think probably we can host some webinars and workshops throughout the whole undergrad to postgrad to attract students who are interested in this, to let them to enhance some awareness regarding this issue.
Great point. Thanks everyone for being here today. It's a great opportunity for us to reflect on what we have done so far for our audience. If you would like to know more about research within eLab team, please Google us. Bye.